See with caution, I'm asking. This here is a call to action and move it forward, not backwards. I'm sick of it. Yo, I've had it. There's something wrong with this planet. Bruh, too many people tripping like acid and don't know how to act. I'm sick of people lying. And I'm sick of people dying. I'm sick of all these fucking cover-ups and justifying. This shit is serious and we ain't trying to waste time. This shit is serious like DJ Khaled's waistline.
Hey, it's your boy Jay Mills with Keepers of the Funk, KOTF. Chilling here at North Park Brewery with my boy Asante. Asante, what's going down, bro?
Chilling, man. Life's good. Asante Prince. Chilling here at North Park. T-minus 6 hours before showtime.
So you're doing a show tonight. Where are you doing a show?
I'm doing tonight at Queen Bee's in North Park, 3925 Ohio Street.
That is a pretty big venue here in San Diego here.
Definitely. It's big, and I'm slowly learning more and more about how big it is. But from my experience, it's been through Lyrical Exchange, which is every night. Starts at about 7:30, 8 o'clock, and that's pretty much one of the most consistent platforms for the local talent to come by and showcase their stuff. And that's where I've been going, like, religiously every Tuesday since the year I started.
So, what kind of people do you get coming in there? What is it, Lyrical Exchange, exactly?
Man. All types. You get... It's primarily, I'll say all types, but it's primarily poetry. People will come to speak poetry, spoken word, and then you'll get some singers coming, and you'll get some rappers coming, and you'll get some comedians coming. You get people literally from any form of expressive art. That's where they go on Tuesday nights. It's a great platform. And it's been around for a while. Apparently, I mentioned Queen Bee's. Oh, yeah, I know Queen Bee's. Everybody, I bet it's definitely made its roots in San Diego. They just had a really big... Beatles concert celebration thing, like,
really?
2 weeks ago, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it's a big deal, big cultural center. They got a dance studio. They have a recording studio, too.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it is like a hub, like, like an arc, like King Tubby's arc, you know?
Yeah. It definitely is. Definitely.
An incubation spot.
Yeah.
Well, you're here from, you're from San Diego.
Yeah, so, this is my home. It's my city.
So what's it been like for you coming up, growing up here in San Diego, but then also... Now that you are on the other side of the stage, so to speak.
It's really crazy because my analogy that I preach through this whole thing is that I feel like I'm like Ash in Pallet Town. I grew up off in Pallet Town and I'm just kind of, you know, going to different spots and making my name known. But I'm doing it in the unknown parts of like my hometown because I never did the open mics before. And it's cool seeing things like when I did the show at... the Observatory for Absol. The week before,
That's good. Yeah, that is.
Let me just drop that. Yeah. So I opened up for Absol a couple weeks ago at the Observatory North Park, and I was stoked about that show because I love the Observatory North Park. I've been to so many shows there. And the week before, I was at the Lupe Fiasco concert, and I guess one answer to that question is it's really cool being from San Diego and kind of like hustling and grinding and kind of seeing the other side of it. Because one thing I wanted to say on stage, but I guess I didn't have enough time to, is like in the middle of performing, everyone's chanting, cheering, and screaming. I want to be like, hey guys, like this is my city, like San Diego. Like literally last week I was in the crowd with you guys.
Yeah.
And now I'm on the stage. So it's definitely cool for me. And it's definitely, I think people really vibe with the fact that, you know, I'm kind of able to pull the curtain on certain things, so to speak. Like, people can kind of see, like, the Wizard of Oz, you know? Like, they see, like, you know, who's behind everything. Oh, wait, if he can do it, then so can I. Oh, that guy was... I grew up with this guy, and I was doing all these crazy things.
You have a connection with them.
Oh, yeah. Very deep. It's like, you know, every time a performance is a homecoming, and every performance is a reunion. So that's definitely awesome.
Nice. Yes. How would you describe your sound? Because you have a, like, your new you have a new single on Spotify.
I do, yeah. Yep.
Stranger Built.
So that single, yeah.
So, and it comes off like it's lighthearted, but still you're talking about some very serious topics.
Absolutely. Let's see. That kind of comes from, so the way that I approach like all songwriting and performing and whatnot is I like to include a little bit of humor into it. Only because that was like really the only language that I grew up learning. Okay. Like an example, like I go over to my grandma's house or our family's house, and I'm like 3 years old, 5 years old. Nobody would listen to me until I told a joke. So I got used to saying knock-knock jokes. I'm like,
really?
So that's what I learned, like, real young, that, okay, if I want people to pay attention, I got to, you know, I got to use humor.
Right.
And with Destroy Me, Build, the first 30 seconds is very, you know, some... If you listen to it for the first time, you're going to be like, wow, this is like, okay, all right. The first 30, it's a skit. And then it just goes straight into some serious bars. And I like to use a little bit of all emotions because I see, like, we kind of smile like, oh my God, okay, Sante, okay, let me listen to your SoundCloud song. And then as it goes on, they're like, wait, he's actually saying some pretty good, this is actually a really good song.
Yeah.
It catches a lot of people off guard, and I love it.
How did that track come about? Like, what caused you to, in writing that track?
In writing the track, so the writing and the track itself came two different ways.
Okay.
Writing it, it was more or less just my memoir of 2016. One big observation of the year, and the track already had a title. So the track came from my cousin, who's a producer, and he's been DJing for years. I remember I would go into his room when I was in fifth grade and play with his sound pad, and that track is off of like one of his projects. And I saw the project, and they've all, you know, had titles, and it's a full completed project. And I said, wow, this is a really good song, I really like it, it's called Destroy and Rebuild. I said, okay. So I took the title and kind of wanted to make a story based off the title. And I don't know, I mean, I originally started writing the song. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take it way back. I started writing in 2013. And I was just satiring everything that was hot then. Mm-hmm. Which was Harlem Shake.
Okay.
What else was hot? Psy, Gangnam Style. it was like a roast, you know? And then I just couldn't do it, you know, songwriting, writer's block, put it away.
Yeah, yeah.
But I dug it back up. You know?
How long? Okay, how long was
about
that?
A 3-year gap.
Really?
Yeah.
What were you doing for those 3 years?
So, what I'm doing right now, was supposed to happen in 2013.
Okay.
And I was so eager, and I was just so ready to do it, and I had my proposals, everything was ready to go. But I was also in school, and then I was living at home, I was still young. I'm young now. But it just, you know, it didn't work out.
Right.
And I went back, I was at a community college, and I wanted to drop out to do this, but it didn't work out. So I went back to a university, graduated in that time, and then I also played water polo. So I went to go abroad and play, you know, professionally for a little bit.
Okay.
And in the midst of all those different things, that was the best part because I got to grow up and, mm-hmm. like, live life. That's the best ingredient to any, like, you know, writing songs or things, you know, use your experience, your life. So
it's find inspiration and... Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when I first wrote the song, I could only get like a hook and a couple verses. Second time I opened it up again, I was like, okay, cool. But like it just started flowing. Everything came really natural. And, you know, definitely if the timing was right, 2013, mm-hmm. it would have worked out. This all would have happened earlier. But the fact that I waited, I feel so much more confident in my delivery, my like rapport,
right.
and the following. Like I've made a lot more connections in the time. So it definitely taught patience is a virtue and all that good stuff.
That is. Patience is a virtue, but it's also the hardest thing. Mm. I struggle with that myself.
I wanted this so bad when I because I would I had like a full project written, and like after I wrote it. I'm like, oh my God, I want to share the whole world. I want to tell everybody about it. I want to tell everybody about it. And then it didn't work. And I was like, well, what am I supposed to, this is what I want to do. Like, what am I supposed to do if it's not going to be this?
Right.
So I was really in the dumps for those 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was abroad, before I moved back home, I said, all right, you talk about how cool it would be to perform.
Yeah.
You talk about how much you want to do it. Now it's time to like actually be about it.
That's what's up. Okay.
It's been working pretty well so far.
Yeah. How has San Diego received you thus
very
far?
Well. Very well.
Like, what's the community like? Give us an idea of what the community is like here.
Man, so the community, laid back, man. Laid back. We are laid back. And we're, as far as open mic scene, we're all very eager. We're very eager and supportive. Every open mic you go to in San Diego, people are waiting to hear what you have to say. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you go on stage and you forget what you wrote, or if you're reading off your phone or on paper, everyone's still going to receive it. If you're blanking on something, like, oh man, mm-hmm. I forgot my lyrics. Everyone's going to clap. Everyone's going to help you out. Say, come on, bro, go in. Everyone's
there. Positivity. Yes. Positivity. That's good.
Positive, man.
That's good.
Laid back and positive. That's how I can describe San Diego.
Wow, that's good. That's good. Well, the other thing is, San Diego, guys are next door to LA. You
know? Oh, yeah.
So it seems that, you know, a lot of people, they get the concept, the idea, hey, I want to go big, I want to go to LA. So what keeps you here, or what keeps other artists here in San, like, here in San Diego?
You know, it's nice because in its own way, San Diego is kind of like LA. I mean, obviously, at the end of the day, if you're trying to really get big, you're going to go to LA, you know, do that Hollywood and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But the best way that I look at it is that San Diego is like the perfect training ground, because we are like LA, but we're not as hectic and not as, you know, bustling and, again, laid back and positive. And I feel like, I guess anywhere before you go to LA, you want to kind of, blanking on a better word, but you kind of want to take over your area and, like, mm-hmm. knock up all the bases of where you are right away before you go to the big dogs, you know. So okay. At least for me, like, since December, I've just been, like, hitting every open mic in San Diego, like, trying to, like, knock all the bases off, get a solid enough following. So when I do go to L.A., everyone's going to be like, oh, man, like, apparently this guy is, like, a thing. So, like, it, you know, you kind of want to make other people look stupid.
Right.
Because if you have so many people that are already following you,
yeah,
whoever isn't following you is going to be like, oh, damn, where have I been, you know?
Right. So, well, that leads to my next question. Now that we have, you know, modern times with social media.
Oh, man.
Anyone can promote themselves on social media as, you know, literally, whatever they would like to seem. Be, you know, and it creates a doorway between you and a wider market.
Yeah. It's, you know, social media is one of the greatest inventions we have, but it is just so abused. Just so, we literally have, like, every answer we could ever want to anything in the palm of our fingertips, but we use it to have, like, arguments on cats and stupid stuff like that. Like,
tweefing.
Yeah.
STS, tweefing.
Man. And it's like, I have the power. Everyone does. I can literally link up with anybody in the world. Like, I have, you know, through my social media, I've been able to reach out to, you know, my own contacts in everywhere that I've played, like Brazil, Europe, Hungary. And, you know, the people in my immediate circle, they may get tired of seeing my posts, but what keeps me, like, still posting is, like, okay, people in my circle, they've seen it live, like, they've seen the posts, but there is somebody who's not from San Diego who wants at least to see a taste of what's going on.
Right.
So, like,
again, stumble upon it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you want to utilize that, because it's true. Anybody, we have the ability to see what, you know, DJ Khaled is eating right now.
Right.
Or to see what, you know, like, what, you know, everybody is kind of on the same timeline now.
Mm-hmm.
We know what happens.
It's in real time.
Yes. We know exactly what happens when it happens. So, you know, that's what, like, whenever we're like, man, I just posted, like, 3 hours ago. Don't nobody want to see this. And it's like, no, somebody does. Like,
yes.
Somebody is, they just don't, you know, they're the person who likes everything but will never comment on any of your posts. So,
no, that's what I like. That is a thing, you know. Do you find that easier to market yourself? Because it seems like social media, like, using social media, especially, like, things like Instagram and, you know, SoundCloud, things like that, it is the new form of guerrilla marketing. You know, before, it's like, if you were a local artist, you know, people in your area immediately knew about you, and it was harder for people outside of that, but now, you know, someone in Brazil could be listening to your stuff, someone in England could be listening to your stuff, some kid in Nebraska, you know, and have you know, they're downloading yours on Spotify, so...
Yeah.
How does that make you feel? Like, does that be like, oh my god, this is really something? Like, how do you feel on that?
It's cool, and then it also creates a lot of accountability. Because before, to take it through, like, I would just kind of, I started uploading my performances to YouTube.
Okay.
Like, just, you know, just to show that I had content.
Okay.
The second month of doing that, I noticed I wasn't getting a lot of views.
Okay.
Then I would watch the videos, and I was like, okay, it's kind of long. You know, and Instagram and social media, we have like a 10-second span before we swipe. And then I said, okay, well, if I'm putting, you know, myself out there, I really want to go everything that I put out with my best foot forward.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to upload the best 30 seconds of my set and this and that. And that's, you know, the best way to showcase myself. So it creates that accountability that, okay, whatever you upload, people are going to see.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to make sure, like, obviously, you and anybody that knows you will understand if you, like, forget a word, like, oh yeah, dude, don't worry about it. But, like, you know, you kind of have, you're at the fingertips of somebody, or at the grace of somebody else. Like, you always want to create your own highlight reel.
Mm-hmm.
You're not gonna see a highlight reel of, you know, Michael Jordan airball. Maybe a couple, just to kind of show motivation, but
every
highlight reel you see on ESPN, every promo
vid, it's
just
point.
Boom,
it's like,
boom.
Yeah.
And then in the game, when they do hit an air ball, okay, bro, it's all good. all right, man, just, you know, come back for the next one. That's when we can understand it.
Okay.
But if you're trying to showcase that you're the best team and whatnot, you've got to have that highlight reel. And that's what keeps me accountable. It's like, all right, like, I know a lot of people are watching me, a little intimidating, but I got to give them some good content because, you know, you never know who somebody knows. Like,
right.
My best friend who lives in wherever, England, may be roommates with somebody who, like, loves social media networking, and that would be the connection.
Definitely keeping it organic, and
yeah.
No, when you know someone, you can utilize your strengths together to benefit each other.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So let me ask, what was the young Asante like? What got you into performing into hip hop?
So let's see. I actually did not like rap or hip hop at all.
Really?
Because it had too many bad words in it.
How old were you at this point?
Man, I was probably 12 or 13.
Okay.
I knew I wanted to get into entertainment when I was in 7th grade. And I was a chubby kid growing up. Chubby, picky eater, inconvenient. I had asthma. I was an inconvenience.
Boy in a bubble. Boy in a bubble.
And then I'll never forget, one day I saw Usher just killing it on stage. And I was like, yo, that's dope. And then I saw, you know, this guy's abs and whatever, shirts off,
sliding across the floor, like, and Scooby
then I was like, I was like, dang, I kind of want to do that. Let's get it together, Santi. So, you know, time passes. Still in 7th grade, my dad got me like an iTunes card because iPods were hot then. Dad, please. Okay, all right, whatever. Gave me a card for like, he gave me like a birthday, $100.
Oh. That's a lot of tracks.
Like, yo, okay.
That's a lot of tracks.
So I didn't know what the hell to listen to. Started off with like, okay, Bob Marley, like him.
Well, what were you listening to before? So before you got this card, what were you listening to at that time, though?
Let's see. When I was a young kid?
Yeah, right before you got into hip-hop.
Oh, before hip-hop, it was reggae.
Okay.
Old R&B.
Okay.
Like Marvin Gaye, Kenny Pendergrass.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you sold it.
Reggae and R&B. That's
okay.
What it was.
Man. All right. Okay.
And then it... You know, eventually looped into Kanye West, and then it would go to like Lupe Fiasco,
okay.
Other artists, and it started off with the radio songs, and I would go on iTunes and I would download the clean versions of everything.
Okay.
Because I didn't like the backwards. And then, you know, I got older, getting into more into hip hop, and realizing that, you know, whenever a bad word was, it wasn't the end of the world.
No.
Okay. End of the world. Then I got used to just like listening to that full expression.
Yeah.
And then it got to the point where I was like, huh, you know what? It's not that bad.
Yeah.
And high school was when I really, like, really came behind all hip-hop.
Who you listening to? Who you banging back then in high school?
Man, I started getting into some Lil Wayne, because he had a peak then.
Okay, so that's...
Outkast, obviously.
Okay.
Man, just to name a few. I think it's some old... Obviously, Pac and Biggie. Anybody who was hot then, really.
Okay. Well, what about, was there anyone in San Diego at the time? What was from San Diego that was,
you know,
inspirational?
I don't know. I feel like, no, I want to say that my knowledge of the San Diego performer scene is 5 months old.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fresh, because I'm still finding out new local San Diego artists.
Oh, wow.
I could tell you who was hot back then.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little rap group called Acid Crew.
Okay.
Made of me, myself, and two other friends in middle school. When we got together, we formed a little rap group. Because my friend, he was the rapper. He was our friend who was a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
And we started off producing. And he's like, hey guys, I want to do a rap group. And I was like, heck yeah. That was like my end to kind of start writing.
Like, I'm going to get some girls.
Yeah. I was like, all right, this is how it's going to start.
That's how you do it.
So we did a couple songs and whatever, and it was cool. He was so serious about it, man. He was passing out CDs at break. He was so serious, man. And it's great because now he's a legit producer.
Oh, wow.
His name's Danny Winter. Still my best friend, or one of my good friends. And he's been featured on Pigeons and Planes.
Okay.
He's got a dope project coming out pretty soon. And on the mixtape that I'm dropping, he's produced one of the songs.
So what is your mixtape?
The mixtape remains untitled. Well, it has a title, but it's top secret. I'm looking at a September release.
Okay.
It's gonna be very entertaining.
Okay. Is it independent label, or is it on your own label?
This is just me, 100%.
Okay. So self-release, self-publishing?
Exactly. Self-release, self-published, probably gonna be a free release.
Okay, where can people find that?
SoundCloud, most likely.
Okay.
Yeah, most likely SoundCloud. And anywhere you can download a mixtape off of, really. SoundCloud and, what is it, DatPiff? I think it's DatPiff.
DatPiff.com, yeah, I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah.
DatPiff for a while.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, last question. What can we expect tonight for your performance?
So now you can expect a lot of energy.
A lot of energy.
A lot of energy. You can expect to laugh. You can definitely expect to hear some bars. Definitely expect some interaction. Definitely expect to hear some truth, you know?
Okay.
Just a nice little... After the show, you're going to walk out and be like, man, I'm very glad that man is doing what he's doing.
I believe that.
Yeah.
All right, Asante. Well, how can people find out about you? What's your Instagram?
All right. Here's the deal.
Give them the lowdown.
Instagram is at Asante Prince. So at S-A-N-T-E Prince. Anywhere else on SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, Google Play. The first single is called Destroy and Rebuild. Facebook, Asante Prince. Also, Twitter, Asante Prince. If you really want to get into it, I actually have like kind of made a hashtag my own. It's the hashtag, and you use the fire emoji and the chocolate bar emoji. It's hashtag hot chocolate, because I'm hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate, ladies.
So use the hashtag, and it's going to go directly to me.
All right, Asante, appreciate you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for checking us out here on Keepers of the Funk. I'm Jay Mills.
I'm Asante Prince.
I sign out. Peace.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, hey there, Sonny. This is, you know who this is. And first of all, glad to have you back there. We really missed you. But when you went away, there's some things, you know, they went pretty bad. And I don't want to rush you or just shout or anything, but
schematic, proceed with caution. I'm asking this here as I call the action to move it forward, not backwards. I'm sick of it, yo, I've had it. There's something wrong with this planet, but too many people tripping like acid and don't know how to act. I'm sick of people lying, and I'm sick of people dying, and I'm sick of all these fucking cover-ups and justifying. This shit is serious and we ain't trying to waste time. This shit is serious like DJ Khaled's waistline. Claiming they educated, but to me, I look sedated. Ignorant to all the chaos, product of what they created. Mumble rap, I really hate it. Why do people love to play it? Reminiscing to them days we commanded the creators. Just understand what I'm saying. See, I've been sitting back and patiently waiting as I've been watching this mayhem. And now, see, now I'm breaking my silence. I'm here to spit something violent. I'm breaking everything, smash, going off. See, I'm not like Halloween when no one gets your costume. I'm not like Homer when there's somebody talking slick to them. How am I supposed to spark a revolution when the media's polluting my entire generation? Ho! Police stay killing, but you would never know, cause all these people care about is playing Pokemon. Yo,
you serious?
And I ain't tripping if you wanna be the very best. It's just a couple of things I'm getting off in my chest. Like Obama, tell me who you think you is, bro. The work you did was major props to all that you done did. But you really think you're about to up and leave us in the tax, bud? And you'll be giving us 2 terms, thanks, Barack. And I ain't tripping if my president's a female, but something's really suspicious about them emails. Donald Trump, don't get me started, he a fucking clown. If you build a fucking wall, homie, I'ma tear it down.
Hey, hey, move that shit out the way.
Dog, I'm like Rocky, but can't nobody stop me. The one and only, though people they love to try to copy. My style, my flow, my wit, my quips, and clever tricks that I be using to make them hits and murder shows. Can't nobody else do it like how I do it. I prove it. See, I put them lyrics to music. Watch me create a movement. This generation of whack raps is making me clap back. That's quicker than Twitter spitting out black facts. Yo, I'm laughing, I know I'm making them mad when they find out that the kid isn't slowing down on the path, man. I eat the competition up like a Pac-Man, cause people hate to see a strong and ready black man. I make it happen, and yo, it's bigger than rapping. I'm only using my platform just to voice an educated tantrum. So tear it down, time to rebuild. Tear it down, know that we will. Make it better, good luck in all your endeavors. And if they all steady hating, just fuck them and do your thing. Bye-bye.